In our effort to clearly define exactly what is meant when people talk about cloud-native computing, we were fortunate enough to speak with Greg McLuckie, who is not only the CEO of Heptio, but he's also a former project manager over at Google, and he's one of the founders of the Kubernetes Project. So the first thing we asked Craig, whose organization is also a member of the CNCF, the Cloud Native Computing Foundation, is how does he define cloud native computing?
The first thing I would say is, you know, when we were setting up Cloud Native Computing Foundation, I tried to create an acid test for what was cloud native. And I converged on cloud native is any sort of application pattern that embraces container packaged, dynamically scheduled, and microservices-oriented operations. So I saw with that as being, you know, if you are those three things, you are likely cloud native. And that's just sort of the starting point. More broadly, cloud native is a way for organizations to start to rethink their IT around a model of services delivery. So think about what cloud has done. It's taken a technology like VMs, it's put it behind a provisioning API, it's added an operations team, and it's delivered it as a service to, you know, anyone who wants to consume it. Platform as a service is doing that, you know, slightly higher up the stack. Software as a service is giving you a full application stack that you can consume the service. And so cloud native is about stripping out the essence of cloud, which is taking a technology, creating an expert operations team, putting it behind a provisioning API and delivering it as a service. And the technologies themselves, those container package, dynamic schedule, microservice-oriented frameworks, are a natural gateway to achieve that mode of managing IT. Sorry, that's like a little bit, it takes a little processing, but that's as far as it is.
Now, right now, there's about 8 or 9 different projects that come under the umbrella of the Cloud Native Computing Foundation. We've got Kubernetes, Prometheus, OpenTracing, FluentD, Linkerd, ContainerD, Rocket, CoreDNS. How exactly does the Cloud Native Computing Foundation work, and how do they choose which projects actually get to be included under the umbrella of the CNCF?
Let me just tell you how the foundation works. And then I'll answer the question if that's okay. Hopefully this won't be too much of a side joke. The Cloud Native Computing Foundation, when I was setting it up, I was focused on creating a foundation that would harmonize and bring together technologies. I was working on Kubernetes, and it was clear that while Kubernetes was, you know, wonderful, there were a lot of other technologies in space that people wanted to use. And Kubernetes by itself was necessary but insufficient to, you know, solve all the problems. There's a bunch of other stuff that you need to actually get that vision of cloud native. And so we created a foundation that's charted with, you know, bringing together, harmonizing, and establishing stable interfaces between the subsystems that exist in this cloud native universe. And so what is driving the decisions at the end of the day is whether these technologies are leading the end consumer in this cloud-native direction. The decisions themselves are actually being made by a technical oversight committee. So this foundation is a little different to some other foundations in that I was very worried about the possibility of balkanization, where if you have a foundation that's largely managed by vendors, where vendors are the dominant force in the foundation, they tend to promote their interests, and it often leads to fragmentation, balkanization of the underlying technologies. So in the case of CNCF, we've established a technical oversight committee. It's a set of industry luminaries who have a lot of credibility in space that are voted into a role, and they're chartered with representing the broader interests of the community rather than a specific vendor. So at the end of the day, any decision as to whether to adopt a new technology, it has to meet the acid tests of the technical oversight committee. You know, do they look at the technology? Does it make sense as being, you know, moving customers forward along these dimensions you just articulated? And if so, you know, will it meet a certain set of acid tests in terms of openness and sort of accessibility to the community? And if so, they can bring the technology into CNCF. So the way this tends to work is we've established a list of, you know, well, not, we, the let me just not say we, let me say Cloud Native Computing Foundation, in conjunction with the community, has established a list of technologies that are supportive of this mission. And the technologies themselves are then, sort of invited cautiously to participate. They come, they present to the Technical Oversight Committee, and the Technical Oversight Committee then makes a decision as to whether it's moving the needle in a positive direction, whether it would be accretive to the broader portfolio, and if that those tests are met, those technologies come in. So obviously a technology like Container D or Rocket are square in the heart of this container orchestrated, container package, dynamically scheduled, microservice-oriented framework. They meet the acid test. They wanted to participate in this broader ecosystem. They went through the TFC. The TFC approved the inclusion of these projects in the CNTF, and that's how they go. And every one of those projects, in some ways, brings accretive value to the community.
So what tips or insights would you give to software architects and software developers who want to go cloud native?
So the first thing I would suggest, this is a common misconception as people start to approach the cloud native landscape, is that they conflate the idea of a container and a VM. So, you can use containers like people have been using VMs, where you can create large, packaged, relatively monolithic deployment. And there's no reason not to do that as you're getting going. As you start to architect, much of the power from the sort of cloud-native approach comes from composability and being able to piece together much smaller pieces into an environment that's managed centrally. So, for instance, let me give you an example. A classic deployment model for someone who's doing a Java sort of deployment technology would be to take something like, it could be something like JBoss, or it could be something much more modern and progressive in terms of a lightweight sort of Java runtime environment. And then include all of the componentry you need to run your application into a single monolithic container. Let's just say you have something that's serving, HTTP request responses, and it's doing three things. It has a component that's listening in on a port and sending a response. It has a component that is doing a memory cache update, and then you have another component that's doing logs processing. Traditionally, you'd bundle all three of those things together into a single, large deployable entity, and then you just drop it into a clustered environment. Now, the preferred way to do this in a cloud-native environment would be to tease those three things apart into three separate containers. They live in the same same Linux namespace. They have access to the same underlying Linux resources. They can even share the same amount. They can share all those resources. So you can absolutely deploy them together. But if you take and embrace this cloud-native approach, you now have a much more composite story. If something that's doing logs processing starts to encounter, it starts to generate out-of-memory conditions, that single component can safely be restarted without touching the rest of your application. You can start to, smart orchestrators can start to schedule these things at different priorities so that you can actually get far higher occupancy. So the first thing I'd say, on the journey to cloud native is it's really important to think about composability. The second thing I'd say is, start to identify and establish patterns of reuse as you look at your service. You may have a relatively monolithic Java-based system, and it may exist, in only one instance. Often as not, you start to talk to organizations and they'll redeploy the same, basic componentry three or four different times in three or four different contexts. When you get an opportunity, when you see something like that, there's an opportunity for reuse. The first thing you can do is sort of portion it out, package it up in some discrete container, and then it can be deployed or co-deployed with the broader application. And that gives you, the first level of reuse. The next thing you might do is say, rather than have this deployed four times, I'm going to, put it behind a service interface with a structured, REST interface or gRPC interface, and now that becomes a common service that I can use in other places. So the second piece of advice I tend to give application developers is to really start thinking about reuse and, sort of where the divisions are inside their application, and start to look for opportunities to create stable interfaces between the underlying component sets. So you can start off with something that's relatively monolithic, and then over time you can kind of tease it apart into a more microservices-oriented mechanism of doing things. The third thing I'd say is, really focus on that sort of formalization of dependencies. So start thinking about rather than taking any kind of implicit dependency on some subsystem, sort of strip it out and make it rather more explicit. Find ways to put REST interfaces between these subsystems, and that's going to create some more flexibility. It's almost an addendum to that second point. And then I think the final piece of advice is it's really important for the application developers to think a little bit about these sort of operations world and to understand not just how you're architecting, but also how that system is going to be run in an operational environment, making sure that you have the right set of labels and annotations on the general componentry so that the underlying operations team or the people that are operating it have enough semantic meaning to be able to make great decisions. So, things like Kubernetes offer a really good way to contextualize what's happening in the application space, because be wise about the use of labels and annotations and think about how that might apply to some of the operation scenarios. So that was a very fast and sort of scattershot walkthrough. Those are a few things that I could think about for a bit.
So would you say that traditional enterprise Java software developers don't need to be too scared of the oncoming cloud-native development trend?
Absolutely. It's entirely applicable to their world. It actually brings a set of modern, robust technologies that allow them to accomplish a lot of what they've had to rely on things like WebSphere, WebLogic, or JBoss to accomplish from an application server perspective. But they can now do that in a polyglot world so that they're not necessarily tied in to a pure Java world. They can start piecing other libraries, componentry, whatever it might be, into their world and using it in a very natural way. So, the Java community is absolutely not being left behind. There's just a lot of opportunity there to embrace these technologies and actually get a lot of value out of them.
So what do you think is going to happen in terms of vendor consolidation in the cloud computing landscape? And are there any major trends that you see happening right now that you think are noteworthy?
So I think the first thing you're going to see is, almost all of the traditional vendors are going to get into cloud native care. They're already getting there. You'll be able to get cloud native technology through your existing provider on the SIMCAP provider. And so I think you're going to see a lot of kind of energy, excitement, and engagement from traditional vendors in cloud native ecosystems this year. I think you're going to start to see a very robust set of cloud provider-based services providing production-ready variants of these technologies to companies. So we've already seen Google and Microsoft embrace technology like Kubernetes and offer a hosted service for that technology. I can't speak for Amazon, but they are an incredibly customer-focused company. So I think that my expectation is that at some point they will likely join the fray. But that's something you should probably take up with them. And so I think you're going to start to see high-quality, simple commodity hosted cloud-native stacks available at the other end of a cloud provisioning API call, which is also nice. And then you're going to see continued excitement and engagement from the startup community. You're going to start to see a lot more sort of organizations bringing these technologies to things like the Gartner Computing Foundation. And I think we're going to start to see some winners emerging. We're going to start to see pretty standardized stacks and topologies. Those are going to be representative of what the cloud providers will offer as services. The main vendors are going to start picking winners. And we'll start to see not so much consolidation from the kind of company space, but consolidation from like a emerging views of what standard architecture should be.
So wrapping things up here, what would you say is the most important thing that software developers and IT professionals can do to push the whole concept of cloud-native computing forward?
I would say that the most important thing is to get involved. These technologies are being built in the open with a specific focus on the end user. And so there's an amazing opportunity for the for organizations that are hugely invested in Java, where it represents the foundations of their business, to engage, participate, and actually shape the destiny of the cloud native stack. I would definitely put out a call to organizations who see the value to participate, join the foundation in the end user contest, start to engage with some of these open source projects directly, and jump in.